T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour two of the program, we're watching the Broncos kick the crud out of the Cardinals, 35-3. Thursday night football at its finest there. We'll talk a little Pelicans later. Charles Barkley calling Anthony Davis the second best player on the planet, predicting an MVP award for him when it's all said and done at the end of the season, plus my NFL picks coming up. But if you're a sports fan here in the city, and I've said this now all month, you've got to start following boxing, because when I went and what I experienced at Lakefront Arena over the summer for the Regis Progre fight against Juan Jose Velasco, it was just incredible. That was on ESPN. You had the big crew there. The atmosphere was just incredible. And now we get a second fight, a big one here in the city that's going to happen next week with Progre as he fights Terry Flanagan in the World Boxing Super Series. And Progre, the local product, he's the number one seed, and he's kind of said it's his goal to make big-time boxing a premier product here in New Orleans, and he's certainly doing a great job of that as he preps for this fight, and we've been trying to get him on the program, and we are gracious, and he is gracious enough to join us, and we finally get the chance to talk to Regis. So Regis Progre joining the program now. Rougarou, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. Everything is great, you know, getting ready for next week, you know, so to give y'all a good show, another good show.
Oh, man, it was incredible. Should I call you Regis, Rougarou, Mr. Progre? What should I call you?
You can call me Regis.
All right, Regis. We'll get to the fight in just a little bit, but you're a New Orleans boy, man. Could you take us through kind of your history and growing up in the boxing scene here and how you got started and your progress towards that, you know, a professional career here in New Orleans?
I literally started like right before Hurricane Katrina hit, to be honest. You know, I'm from New Orleans, of course. But I got a long story and short story. You know, let's give it the shorter version. I was just a rough person growing up, always fighting in the street and stuff like that all the time. But what I did in high school, I played football. I went to 35 and I went to Reed. So at 35, I played football. And I was just, you know, I was beating people up basically every week in the gym. Well, in the classroom, all the football players used to get in the glove. So one day, one of my partners, they were saying, like, you can't come in the room unless you, you know, get in the gloves with somebody. And they had somebody already with the gloves on in the middle of the, like, in the center of the floor in the classroom, and everybody's around it, and nobody wanted to get in the gloves with them. And, of course, I got in there, and I beat them. And so I kept doing that every week. And then after that, it was one, I think we did it every Friday. And so after one Friday, I beat up another dude that, you know, that can really fight. And then one of the coaches pulled me to the side and he said, you know, I don't think you have a future in football, but I think you really do have one in boxing. So it was literally, I think the next day I turned in my football equipment and, you know, I wanted to start going to a boxing gym. So I quit football and I wanted to start going to a boxing gym. And this is my 10th grade year at McDonald's 35. And so I went, I think it was on Carrollton, to a boxing gym. And at first, you know, it was one of the most exhausting things I ever did in my life when I first started. It was just so hard what they put us through. And, you know, so I was just tired. I'll go to the gym and then I'll go home and my grades were slipping. So my mama, she took me out until the summertime, you know, until school ended and it was summertime. And then after that, so I started what summer, you know, school ends around May. So I started like the end of May. June, July, and August, and of course August of that year to Katrina hit. So then I had to move all around. I went to 5 different high schools. I moved to, of course, I came to Houston first. Then I went to Mississippi. Then I went to Slidell, and then I came back to Houston. So, you know, that's a short version of, you know, kind of what happened to me.
Regis Progray joining us here on The Last Lap, a professional boxer, WBC title holder. And New Orleans wasn't, especially after Katrina, Regis, you know this, didn't have the big boxing scene. So it's interesting that you got your start here, and then you said you had to go to Houston to really get the training you needed?
Yeah, basically, I went to Houston. I went to a gym called Savannah's Boxing Gym. If people don't know what Savannah's, I mean, Savannah's is a legendary gym. You know, so many multiple world champions was there. When I started, I was 17, and I was just around greats. You know, I was Holyfield, Juan Diaz, Raul Marquez, Rocky Juarez, Irizlan de Lara, Rigondeaux, the Charlo brothers. They had just, I mean, these are all big names in boxing that people don't really know. And I was around all these people, you know, all this greatness. And that's kind of, you know, what made me even just push, you know, harder and harder and harder every day, because I was surrounded by that. You know, just imagine being a kid. And, you know, I think I was 19. And, you know, I started going in the morning time, and Evander Holyfield was training next to me, you know, alongside of me. I'm hitting the heavy bag and Holyfield's next to me, you know. And so that's, you know, he's the only four-time heavyweight champion in the world, you know. So history is literally practicing next to me. And, you know, I'm just this kid and I'm standing next to him. And then it did something to my mind, think like, yeah, I can do this too, you know. So that's kind of what I want to do to New Orleans. I want to bring inspiration to the kids, you know. Like, it's one thing when you see it on TV, but it's definitely another thing when you can touch it, when it's in front of your face and you can see it, you know, like up close and personal. And then, you know, it definitely does something to your brain.
Well, we'll definitely get to your advocacy for New Orleans, which I think is incredible. But I hadn't heard the story of you standing next to Holyfield. That, you had little butterflies in your stomach when that happened, man. I mean, that's a legend you're standing feet from there training.
Yeah, man, it was great. I mean, at first, so I was going on a Saturday, and I was never starstruck by really nobody, you know, but just being next to him, it did something, because Mike Tyson is my favorite fighter. That's who I grew up watching, and he beat Tyson twice, you know. So I definitely had butterflies and stuff, but I seen him, you know. I didn't, of course, like the first time I went to the gym on a Saturday morning, I didn't go train and stuff. I just kind of hung around, and I kind of got used to him. And then one time we went to a boxing amateur show, and I was still amateur at the time, but I didn't have nobody to fight. So I sat, like, literally next to him, and I was talking to him almost the whole time. You know, we would sit next to each other. We was talking and stuff like that. And, you know, just real down-to-earth, real, real cool dude, you know. And you kind of forget what he accomplished in boxing, basically, like, from his personality. You would think, like, somebody like that would be basically more snobbish and more stuck up and wouldn't want to talk to nobody. But he was, like, the complete opposite. He talked. You know, he talked so much that, you know, I was like, I didn't want to talk to him no more, basically.
Regis Progray on the phone line here. So from that gym in Houston, really, you could go all the way back to 35 here when you first put on the gloves. You've made this journey, and now you're 22-0. You're a title holder right now, and you're going to defend that title. What do you ever expect to be at this point, Regis, when you first put on those gloves, when people told you, hey, you might have a career in boxing? Did you envision yourself sitting here at 22-0, 19 knockouts, and the number one ranked boxer in the world?
You know what? You always dream of it, but, you know, when it happens, you really never, you know, you don't expect it, you know, because, like I always say, you know, God is the ultimate, is the ultimate person that, you know, decides everything, basically. Not person, but you know what I mean. God is the ultimate decider. So, you know, it's a lot of real good fighters that I grew up around that was probably even better than me, you know, but some people, you know, they had kids or they had a death in the family or sickness in the family. They had to take care of other things, other priorities. And, you know, they just couldn't make it, you know. But with me, I just, you know, I guess it's like a, you know, it's some type of destiny for me to do it. You know, of course, I didn't think that I would be this big, especially in New Orleans. You know, I definitely wanted to be a world champion and make money and stuff. But then when you get here, it's definitely a different feeling, because I never expected, you know, my life to be this way. You know, of course, you see it. But you never expect your life to be like how it is. Like, I literally I wake up and I do what I want every single day, and I have no worries in the world. You know, every, like, as far as money-wise and bill, like, everything is taken care of almost forever, basically, you know, already. And I'm only, I'm under 30 years old, you know. So it's just a, you know, it's definitely a dream come true, and it's a, you know, it's a real good feeling to know I can wake up and I do what I love to do every single day, you know. So I never thought this, I thought it could happen, but when it did happen, it's a even bigger surprise, you know. So I'm just grateful for it.
Well, whether it's divine intervention or fortune or fortuity, here you are. And a lot of times, Regis, when you get to that point, you see the bright lights and the glitz and the glamour, you know, there's a lot of guys. Not everybody, but a lot of guys forget where they come from. They forget home, and you certainly haven't done that. I think you have been an incredible advocate for the city of New Orleans, not just the boxing scene here, but the actual city of New Orleans. Why is that? What makes you love this city so much, and you've gone out of your way, I think, to, again, advocate for this city?
I mean, it's just, you know, I always say, like, I always wanted to be, you know, I didn't basically, so in the, coming up in New Orleans, I didn't have the inspiration, you know, as far as boxing. It took me to move away to Houston, you know, to see it, like with Holyfield, basically. You know, I didn't, when I was coming up in New Orleans, you know, you see that stuff on TV, but it took me to, you know, it took Hurricane Katrina to displace me, move me to Houston. And that's when I saw that stuff, and that's when I believed that I can really do it. So I want to do the same thing for the kids. You know, New Orleans is, I mean, I've been, like, I literally been all over the world. I've been so many different places in the world, and, you know, New Orleans is really a separate city. It's a city like no other, like, around the world. And a lot of kids, of course, some people, before Hurricane Katrina, I never been nowhere either. You know, I never went nowhere. So a lot of kids, you know, they don't know that. They think that, you know, they're normal and stuff like that. But New Orleans is, like, a real special city. Our mindset is different. So I want to show the kids that, you know, y'all are different. Y'all are special. And I want to give them inspiration also, because I didn't have that. You know, once somebody, one day, you know, somebody might be the next Regis Prograis, or even better than the next Regis Prograis, you know. So I want to, you know, just, and I don't need nothing off of them. You know, I just want to see them one day. I think that'll be, like, a total satisfaction for me if, one day, you know, 15 years, 20 years from now, we have a kid on TV and say, yeah, the next big boxer coming from New Orleans is, like, you know, and he said, he or she said that, you know, I believed in myself after I saw Regis Prograis. Like, that'll be just, you know, huge for me, you know. So hopefully, and I hope it's way more than one. I hope it is, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 or even more than that, that can say, you know, I was in the presence of Regis Prograis, and that's why I believed in myself. So that's why, you know, I come to New Orleans a lot, and, you know, I definitely want to, you know, inspire the kids. You know, it's, of course, I could do a lot of community things, but I focus on kids more than anything because, you know, of course, kids are the future.
One of your visible brands, of course, is the ink you got on your chest, the tattoo in New Orleans. And I think you've talked about it before, that it's still kind of evolving. Are you still adding some stuff to that?
I think I'm done. I don't know if you got any tattoos, but they hurt. So they hurt a lot, and especially on your chest. The arms and stuff is cool, but on your chest, they hurt a whole lot. So I think right now I'm finished. The first thing I got was the New Orleans on my chest. I think I got that. Yeah, I got that on my 17th birthday out here in Houston. And then I got the date. Eventually, I got the date above, the Katrina date. And I just recently, about a year ago, I got the rest of the stuff, like the Rougarou and all in the city, the, you know, the backdrop of the city and stuff like that. I got all that like about a year ago. But I think I'm done. I don't know for sure, but I think I'm done.
Regis Prograis, professional boxer, WBC title holder, joining us here on The Last Lap. Be sure you give him a follow on Twitter at @RPrograis. And let's talk about this fight coming up, Regis, the World Boxing Super Series. You're the number one seed in that tournament. And it's an interesting format because you got to pick your opponent as the number one seed. Why'd you choose Terry Flanagan?
Well, for me, it was the best choice because he was the tougher competition. Basically, I told everybody, you know, I'm in it to fight the best. I'm a competitor. I want to fight the best people. I don't want to fight pushovers. Right now, I'm ranked number one in the world by ESPN and The Ring magazine. That's the two most credible sources out there right now. So, you know, in order to keep that number one in front of my name, you know, I wanted to pick somebody that was good. You know, this dude, of course, he lost one time, but he's a former title holder. He's like, if I'm not mistaken, he had like one of the longest reigning British championships or something like that. He held it for such a long time. And I mean, it was either out of him or Ryan Martin. And Ryan Martin is a good fighter, of course. But, you know, I feel like Terry Flanagan was the harder fight. And, you know, basically that's what I wanted. So, you know, that's why I chose Terry Flanagan.
Well, that'll be on October 27th at the Lakefront Arena. It's an interesting format here. Is this a format you like, Regis?
I love it. You know, the thing in professional boxing is it's so many loopholes and you can do so many things. You can get out of so many fights. But with this tournament style, it's just like the amateurs, to where you win, you go up, and you fight another winner. And if you lose, you get kicked out, basically. You know, so that's why, you know, I love the format. I love how everything is going with the tournament. You know, it'll definitely define who is the best, you know, 140-pound fighter in the world.
Yeah, it has a little Olympic feel to it almost here. I saw you said you're not going to eat any more po' boys and gumbo, right? There's a little gumbo gate going on before one of your previous fights. Is that right?
Yeah. Something I should have never did. I did it, but something I definitely need to learn from. It was the night before the fight, and it was real late. And so me and my coach, we all went, and I don't want to say the restaurant name, but we all went. And, I had a po' boy and I had some gumbo. And I don't think the po' boy really did. I think it was the gumbo that really did it for me. I kind of felt it a little bit in the fight. So definitely can't do that until after the fight is over.
Regis Progre against Terry Flanagan next week, October 27th, the Lakefront Arena in the World Boxing Super Series. I will be there. I suggest everybody listening, you get out there as well. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. It was great this summer, and it's going to be great again. And Regis, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're really busy to join us here. Good luck in that fight, and we'll be rooting for you. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right, Regis Progre, number one fighter in the world, according to the WBC and a couple of different publications. At our program on Twitter, by the way, be sure you give him a follow there. And again, he'll fight Terry Flanagan October 27th. Still time to get your tickets and get on out there for that one. 22-0, 19 knockouts. And I said this before, when T-Bob and I went to that fight this summer against Juan Jose Velasco, it was one of the best sporting experiences that I've ever had, just bar none. It was incredible. What an atmosphere. I'll be there again, and hey, come say hi to me, and hopefully watch Regis win another fight here. Great interview. Great ambassador for the city of New Orleans. And he didn't have to be. Like I asked him, when you see that glitz and limelight and spotlight, and you become one of the more visible boxers in the world, be easy to forget where you come from. Be easy not to be an ambassador here for the city of New Orleans, which just doesn't have a great boxing scene, but he hasn't forgotten. Great stuff there. I'm Seth Dunlap. We'll be back after this on The Last Lap. Big thanks again to Regis Progre. If you missed that, we'll try to get that up in the podcast. We're having some problems with the podcast, by the way. On mobile, you're still able to get the podcast on your desktop, or if you're on your phone, just make sure you try to get the desktop version of the site. Go to the on-demand section. You can find The Last Lap there. And we'll have the Regis Progre interview for you there. I'm sure we'll play that again next week. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. What did yesterday's Pelicans blowout win prove? They're better than last year. They're a contender in the NBA. Or it's just one game. Cast your vote there. When we come back, it's time for our weekly NFL preview and picks. I will make picks against the spread for every game and also straight up. And we'll break down all 14 games in the National Football League this week. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text line 870-870. This is The Last Lap. We got some people on the text line asking, how do we find Progre? How do we follow him on Twitter? Just text pouring in here saying you love the interview and new fans of Progre, as you should be. His last name is spelled P-R-O-G-R-A-I-S, and his Twitter is at R. Progray, and certainly you can just Google him. You find him everywhere. One of really the more visible boxers in the world, 22-0, 19 knockouts there. And again, a fight against Terry Flanagan next week in the World Boxing Super Series over at Lakefront Arena. We'll be previewing that. I will be there, and we'll give you a report there when I go to that one next weekend. So time for a little NFL preview and picks here, one of my favorite segments. You can find my NFL preview and picks online at WWL.com. Thursday night game getting the week started. 35-10. Broncos dismantling the Cardinals. How bad are the Cardinals? They are really going to be pining for the Bruce Arians, Carson Palmer days there in Arizona. Remember, that was a franchise that has just always been kind of a doormat. They had that 1 year with Kurt Warner. They had that journey to the NFC title game with Carson Palmer. But yeah, they've just been bad outside of that. And it looks like they will be bad again. And it doesn't look like Josh Rosen is going to be the truth, the number one draft pick for the Arizona Cardinals. So let's go ahead and make our picks here. We'll start with the Saints game. Saints on the road against the Ravens. 2.5-point underdogs. And I like the Saints here. They're coming off a bye. I know they have never won in Baltimore. That defense has been so good there, but they haven't faced an offense in the same zip code as the Saints. The Saints are rolling right now. They were heading into the bye. They're getting some pieces back, although Ted Ginn Jr., he went on injured reserve earlier tonight. Saints, 2.5-point underdogs. I love them against the spread. And I'm going to take them straight up here as well. I think this is going to be a good game. And it should be a good measuring stick for both teams as to their true contender status here. I'm going to go Saints 24, Ravens 23. Sunday Night Football, a second time for the Chiefs. They're taking on the Bengals, this time at home in one of the toughest places to play in the world and technically the loudest place to play in the world. Maybe a little bit of a trap game here for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 6. I think that's too much here. This has just got to change sometime. You cannot keep getting outgained by about 150 yards per game and keep winning. And they didn't win last week, although it took a historic performance by the Patriots to make that happen. I'm going to take the Bengals plus 6 here. I will take the Chiefs straight up. I got 34-30 Chiefs over the Bengals on Sunday Night Football. Bengals trying to stay in first place in the AFC North. Rams against the Niners, people kind of looking away here at this one. I think this is one of the plays. If you're actually going to bet, I think this might be a spot where you make a play here. We just saw the 49ers stay close in Lambeau. It doesn't look like C.J. Beathard is that much, surprisingly, of a drop-off from Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe that's a credit to Shanahan out there. Look, the Rams should win this game, but 9.5 points is too much. That's the spread. I'll take the 49ers plus 9.5. I'll take the Rams to win outright 34-26. How about the Chargers? Chargers against the Titans. Titans in a free fall right now. The AFC South is a jumbled mess. It's not like the Titans are going to fall out of the race with a loss here, but this has wild card playoff tiebreaker implications. If we think the Chiefs are the front runners in the West and we think the Jaguars are the front runners, or the Texans, maybe, if you don't believe the Jags, the front runners in the AFC South, then the Titans and the Chargers will be fighting for these playoff spots, wild card playoff spots. A very important one when it comes to tiebreakers down at the end of the season. Chargers, 6.5-point home favorites. Titans defense is too good. I know they just got walloped by the Ravens. I think they bounced back here. I'm going to take the Titans plus 6.5. I'll take the Chargers to win outright. Chargers 23, Titans 20. I had a great start to the week, by the way. I did take the Broncos here at -1 at the Cardinals. Patriots at the Bears. This is my – when I saw this spread, I thought, well, this can't be right. This is a public line. Patriots are 3-point favorites at the Bears. And you're thinking, well, wait a second. This is the Patriots at the Bears. Yeah, this isn't your daddy's Bears here. This is a fearsome defensive unit, and they're not bad offensively as well, and they get this game – at home. The yardage totals favor the Bears. Point differential, too. And in fact, everybody I talk to in Vegas, every single one, not only say take the Bears against the spread here, all of them told me the Bears should be a favorite here. Maybe a 3-point favorite. So I love this. This is pretty much, if I had a play of the week, if I'm one of those guys, this would be my play of the week. I am all over the Bears here, not just to cover. I'm on the Bears to win this game outright. Khalil Mack on that defense, I'm not liking that if I'm Tom Brady on the road. It's not like Foxborough where you control everything. I got Bears 27, Patriots 24. A surprising, I guess this would be an upset here. Love the Bears in this game. Another line that just I'm scratching my head about. The Lions are 3-point favorites on the road against the Dolphins. I understand the quarterback situation there, but we just saw the Dolphins beat a good Bears team at home. Take the Dolphins. Take the points. Dolphins plus three. I'm not only going to take the points here, I'm also going to take them outright. I got the Dolphins 26, Lions 24. Crazy lines here. Sweet. You could just be making money in the NFL. Vikings at the Jets. Jets aren't the imploding dumpster fire team we thought they would be at the beginning of the year. Vikings are as good as we thought they would be. At least they're looking like it now. 3.5-point favorites, Vikings on the road. This was one of those that I kind of went back and forth on, but if you're going to give me the half point here on the three, if you're giving me 3.5 as a home underdog against a not bad Jets team and a pretty good rookie quarterback at home, I will take the plus 3.5 for the Jets. I will take the Vikings to win 24-23. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. I'm going through my weekly NFL picks straight up and against the spread. If you've got a pick and you think I'm wrong somewhere, I know you do, text me at 870-870. Panthers at the Eagles here. Eagles are starting to roll. Watch out. This team could get very scary towards the middle part of this season. Carson Wentz looks like Carson Wentz again. He shook the rust off a little bit. Eagles are 4.5-point home favorites against the Panthers. That's not enough. I like the Eagles 27, Panthers 20. Eagles roll here, and Panthers drop their second straight. Bucks are 3.5-point home favorites against the Browns. I would stay way away from this game if I was actually betting, but I don't. I pick every game against the spread in these picks, so I'm going to pick this one as well. And I will just take the underdog here. An underdog with a good defense, any underdog that's more than a 3-point dog, when you have a defense as good as the Browns, I will take that usually every time, and I will here. I'll take the Bucks to win outright at home, but I'll take the Browns to cover. Bucks 20, Browns 17, that half point. I'm liking that in the Vegas consensus tonight. Jaguars hosting the Texans. Battle for the lead in the AFC South. Jaguars 5-point favorites. Boy, the Jags looked bad. And you're having everybody jump off the Jags bandwagon. Hold on. Not so fast, my friends. It's only 6 games into this season. We've seen this story before. The defense is too good. The Texans, I think, are a mirage. And I think the Jaguars get healthy here at home. I don't think the Texans are going to be able to put up more than 14, 17 points on this Jags defense. Give me the Jaguars 23, the Texans 17, low-scoring game, which usually means you would take the underdog here. I guess maybe I'm a sucker. I'll take the Jags at minus 5. Washington hosting Dallas. This is the same thing we saw last week when Washington hosted the Panthers. Somehow Washington is just a 1.5-point favorite in this game. That means on a neutral field, you're telling me you'd have Dallas as a favorite over Washington? I am not buying it. This is a public overreaction to Dallas's blowout win over the Jaguars. This is not where this line should be. Easy call here. Take Washington giving the points. I'll take Washington at minus 1.5. Washington 27, Dallas 24. And finally, on Monday Night Football, Falcons are a 4-point home favorite against the Giants. I like taking underdogs. I can't take the underdog here. I don't know how the Giants move the football. Even as relatively decimated as this Falcons defense is, they can rush the passer, and it can also light up the defense. I think the Falcons are going to roll here. They really roll. I think it's a 10-plus point victory for Atlanta at home. Giants right now are a mess, an absolute mess. I got the Giants 30. Excuse me, the Falcons 30, the Giants 20, and that means I'm taking the Falcons at minus 4. I went 13-2 straight up last week to get me to 35-15-1 on the season. And against the spread last week, my second straight week of 9-5-1. So I'm above 500 again for the season against the spread at 33-31-1. I'd like to be a handful of games more over 500 than I am, but look, I will take it. I got buried into a hole after the first 2 weeks, 7 games under 500 after the first 2 weeks. It was awful. So It's been a climb, people. It's been a climb, and I'm finally there. So that's my picks against the spread. You can find those online at WWL.com. And again, I've got the Saints, 2.5-point underdogs on the road against Baltimore. I have them covering. I have them winning that football game 26-24. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is the last lap on WWL. I'm still getting feedback on the Regis Progray interview. Everybody loved it. If that's sounds like a lot of your first times hearing Regis and hearing him talk about the city and his journey here from McDonough 35 High School, putting on the gloves there, to the gyms in Houston where he was training next to Evander Holyfield, and now a title-holding WBC boxer who's got a title fight, the second one in less than 6 months here, in the city of New Orleans next Saturday against Terry Flanagan. And Regis is the number one ranked boxer according to ESPN and a couple of other publications in the world at 140 pounds. So we'll get that article and interview online for you in case you missed it in the podcast at WWL.com. Let's go to the phone lines here. Pierre in Gentile, you want to talk a little Saints Ravens, man. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Seth?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing good. At the beginning of the week, I was a bit concerned about this Baltimore Ravens game because we haven't beat them. But I think our offense is going there, and we can pull off the W. I mean, what do you see as far as our advantage, you know, in the shot that we have to beat them?
I think the versatility on offense, Pierre, is they just have so many weapons, and the Ravens, for as good as they have been defensively, they haven't allowed a touchdown in the second half of a game this season, which is just ridiculous. But the versatility of the Saints' offense, and I like the Saints' ability to rush the passer if Marcus Davenport continues to improve like he has the last couple of weeks. I think they can get after Flacco a little bit here, Pierre. So I like. Remember, they're 2.5-point underdogs. I love that line. I'm all over that on the Saints side. I think this is going to be a good game. These are two. And look, I was slow to come around to the Ravens as title contenders storyline here. I think they are. I like both of these teams, and I think they'll be deep into the playoffs late January.
Preview, just,
well, it could be. I mean, it could be. I think if you're talking about the AFC, they're probably third, fourth favorite over there right now behind the Chiefs, the Patriots, maybe the Chargers, Steelers, something like that. They're in the mix, but I think they're in that second tier. Saints are right there in the NFC, man, with the Rams. There's no doubt about that. I still think this Rams team is overvalued by the public, and we're seeing that in these lines. Remember, they have failed to cover three straight weeks. That means the public in Vegas, they're overvaluing the Rams. Simple as that. Rams are good. There's no doubt about that. But you look at the Rams' schedule, and I know this isn't college football. Schedule and ranking and anything like that doesn't matter. You just go win the football games, which I love. Yeah, their schedule, it was supposed to be one of the tougher ones in the league. Hasn't turned out that way. Can't wait to see the Rams here in New Orleans next month. What a month of games it's going to be for the Saints. Thanks for the call, Pierre. Remember tomorrow night, right? If you're listening to this time tomorrow night, we'll be just about wrapping up the high school football week on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. It'll be myself and Alan Waddell. He's going to be out at the game of the week in the state Catholic High at East Ascension, a battle of two certainly state title contenders there. Some other games we're covering, Curtis Holy Cross, St. Paul Slidell, North Shore Covington, and then our play-by-play game of the week on 105.3 FM HD Channel 2, St. Augustine against Thibodeau from Tad Gormley Stadium, live play-by-play with Brad Lumine and the coach Lou Valden. So that's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup tomorrow night from 7 to 10:30 on WWL. Preceding that, of course, is Fans and the Pros with Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister. They'll talk some black and gold, and they will also talk Pelicans here after their dominating win in Houston. Pelicans hosting the Kings tomorrow night. They got a little bit of a soft slate coming up, and you can see the Pelicans reeling off a few wins in a row here and setting themselves up nicely at the start of the season, unlike the last few years. And in fact, next hour, we will talk some Pelicans. And Charles Barkley, boy, I love Charles. And I like him even more today because he says Anthony Davis going to win the league's MVP this year. And Anthony Davis is the second best player on the planet. I'm not sure I disagree with him there. We'll have that sound for you. We'll talk a little Pelicans top of the hour. We'll take a break here. If you want to join the program, open lines through the end of the show, 504-260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap, and this is The Last Lap. Ho-hum here. Thursday night football returning to form. We are going to get some good Thursday night games, and we have before. This isn't one of them. Broncos and Cardinals, nobody's really paying attention to this one anyways, and they probably haven't since about the first 6 minutes of the game. Broncos have been in control of this one throughout, and now it is 42-10. Broncos going to go to 3-4. Not sure the Broncos are a contender for even a playoff spot over there in the AFC, but they're making the Cardinals look completely inept here. All right, 2 hours down on the program, one to go. You know what that music means. We got to step aside really quickly for a news break, but don't go anywhere. Coming back, we got some Pelicans to talk about. Pelicans, man, were they impressive last night or what? Blew out the Houston Rockets in Houston to open the season, and now you've got Charles Barkley saying Anthony Davis is going to win MVP. We'll talk some Pelicans. We will preview Saints-Ravens. We'll go behind enemy lines. And then we'll have two-minute drill trivia second half of the hour.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.